I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal.
Oh, ho, ho! What a silly hack!
Yelling it doesn't make it true.
That's right. Who do you think you are? I am.
This is the Brian Suits Show.
But you got to remember, when you file that extension, you do have to send what you calculate you owe, if you do owe anything.
Taxes! Taxes! Beautiful, lovely taxes!
I got to tell you, I don't think I've filed by April. I either file on January 5th, as soon as I get my current, you know, W-2, which took my beloved company like 2 months this year, right?
I like to live dangerously. This year, I waited till the very last day to file my taxes.
That's just smart.
Is it?
Yeah.
I owe
no
a lot
point.
This year.
Just have it postmarked by close of business or file an extension.
I do the digital thing.
And but not a stressful day for me. But then again, I don't happen to think that my local municipality has any effect whatsoever on foreign policy, especially in Israel. Here's the sound of a 28-year-old woman who thought a really good use of her time was to threaten with death city councilors in the city of Bakersfield, California.
Hold on, is this edited?
Okay. It's just she's just blubbing. Because she's been charged with 16 felony counts over threatening to murder city councilors in Bakersfield unless they voted to endorse a ceasefire in Gaza.
A deputy public defender entered not guilty pleas on Patel's behalf to 8 counts of threatening a public official and 10 counts of making terroristic threats.
28, not 18, not 8, but 28. And as the person who put this up said, this young, though not all that young, woman shows us the price of a decade and more of infantilizing and coddling high school and college students, filling their heads with perverse ideologies and their heads with a spirit of self-righteous authority, or pardon me, superiority. Sound familiar, Seattle? And this was given to me by a friend of mine who was an announcer on a nuclear submarine. And he said, by age 28, I'd already been an officer in the U.S. Navy 6 years, was certified to deliver nuclear weapons. They do that. Deployed 3 times, including Desert Storm. Had been married 3 years and was working on my master's degree. Well, that's back when you had to earn a living at the age of 28. But so anyway, and he ends with, she threatened to murder public officials, FFS, which is an acquired acronym, but I agree with it. But yeah, so I'm sorry, at the age of 28, there are people addicted to staying on campus, and they also feel entitled to close down I-5 or tell the Seattle City or shout down the Seattle City Council. And that prosecution is ongoing, by the way. and that's the one over their rent and immigrant scheme where they were bringing up people who were actually waving Venezuelan flags in the Seattle City Hall. Like, that's the way to, you know, but anyway, more of that. The hottest iron in the fire is the anticipation that Israel will strike back, will exact a revenge on Iran for their attempt to kill hundreds of Israeli civilians. It's not like they were aiming at Israeli military bases or something. And then, as it turns out, as I counted on Telegram this morning, that's one social media site that Iran doesn't dare block because it's Russian. But it would appear that just as many Iranian ballistic missiles and or their suicide drones landed in Iran. This morning, I saw one piece of footage of a ballistic missile that went wacky and landed in a neighborhood and took out a whole block. Because, okay, it has a 1,000-pound warhead, and then if it went wacky after launch, it still has 2 tons of solid fuel propellant on board. And so they're not going to say that, but the Iranian administration is belittling Israel's claim that 99% of the drones were shot down. But the problem is there's not the requisite wreckage. Even Saddam landed some missiles in Tel Aviv in 1991. This story out of Sydney over the weekend, a wacky guy who was stabbing. It aligned like terrorism, but the guy wasn't yelling Allahu Akbar. He was just wearing surf gear, running around with a knife, like you can, until the actual person that brought a gun to a knife fight found out, and then she was a police officer, and she whacked the guy. But after he killed six people, five of them women, so they're... the Australian authorities are saying clearly the family says he was mentally ill and that he hated women. And so BBC chased down the guy's dad. And he, I mean, if you cast a live action Yosemite Sam movie, this guy would be it. The hat with the turned up brim in front, the giant beard. He just didn't have the big mustache. And because wait, Yosemite Sam. Oh, no, this was it's Stinky Pete, the miner from Toy Story, right?
Stinky Pete.
Yeah. This guy, I swear, if Martians landed and said, take us to your real life Stinky Pete, it would be this guy. This is the father of the stabber. And he's asked, why do you think he did it?
Do you have any reason to understand why he would have targeted women?
Yes.
Why?
Because he wanted a girlfriend. And he's got no social skills. And he was frustrated out of his brain.
What happened?
So there you go. The Australia lacks girlfriends. I hate to be flippant about this, but the guy was nuts. No social skills. It was like an Australian incel, where you have this generation of men who are in the basement of their mom's house or in the basement of the science building, and they just can't believe that you women don't see what a catch they are. I mean, what the conversation, you know, the whole thing. I mean, why don't the women see what a good guy I am?
Do you have any reason to understand why he would have targeted women?
Yes.
Why?
Because he wanted a girlfriend, and he's got no social skills.
Yeah, so those two things combined don't exactly make you a 10, all that. And I saw as much coverage this weekend. BBC was live on Saturday morning with it because it happened, you know, late Saturday afternoon in Australia. They had as much coverage of the fact that a firearm was used on this chap and that it was a good shoot. And as they did about who the guy was and everything, they were so aghast that they had to resort to a firearm. And have you seen any of the footage in the mall?
No, I haven't.
He's walking around. He passes up certain men who have an opportunity to dominate the guy and take the knife. And I'm not going to question anyone, you know, just looking out for themselves. That's how humans work. But that's how grizzlies work, too, as we learned last hour, by the way. Dan Newhouse, congressman from Washington's storied 4th District, including your Toppenish, your Sunnyside, your Sela, your Yakima, all of them called in talking about the federal government's plan to reintroduce, what can go wrong, grizzly bears in the Cascade. So this would affect all of us, especially the slow-running, yummy ones. So... he talked to us and checked in on some of the open community forums he's done, stuff like that. That was last hour. And you can just go and text APP to 800-465-8770, and you can get the app, listen on the app. Be like hundreds of thousands of right-thinking Americans every month who listen on the app after we're live and stuff. And I don't know exactly when the policy happened. I haven't been a member of Planet Fitness in a while, but there's a new policy. They've been denounced about this, and they're learning with their special Dylan Mulvaney marketing department in canceled memberships, because they'll auto-debit you per month, and then one day the account number doesn't work. You've been unauthorized. So it's been, in their own words, a disaster. And then... a naked guy, a man, a biological man with biological wedding tackle, undresses in front of women in North Carolina. A woman calls her mom and dad, says, what should I do? They say, call 911 because you're having a man emergency. And so she does.
Yes, I'm at Planet Fitness. It's not really an emergency.
Okay, what Planet Fitness are you at?
This is not an emergency. It's just me and my friends, we're all, you know, not minors, but we were just flashed by a man in the bathroom, and my parents told me to call and report it.
Okay.
And that's not normal.
Is that man still there?
Yeah, he's still in the bathroom. It's a man, but he says he identifies as a woman, and he won't leave the restroom.
So y'all caught that, right? They're changing her voice so you can't hear her say Asheville. But she's saying he's a man, and he's already said to the other women, the actual women with women bits, that he identifies as a woman. And I'm like, wait, what does that identify as? Are you kidding me?
He's just walking around showing us his and he won't leave.
Okay. And is he white, black, Hispanic? What's he wearing?
He's white, Caucasian, with dreadlocks, about 5'10".
The guy's booking photo looks exactly like the kind of guy who'd be walking around because he can.
I don't even know what this is. This sort of thing ain't my bag, baby.
This is totally this chap's bag. He looks kind of Mike Myers-like, by the way. But so, spoiler, if there's a booking photo, it means he was arrested.
Brown hair.
I don't know.
And what's he wearing?
Nothing.
There you go. So that happened. Planet Fitness is pretty embarrassed. I don't know what the local policy is, but you're gonna when we know it all.
Thing.
Well, speaking of Australia, Steve Irwin is back. No, not that Steve Irwin, because he's deed. No, the wacky Steve Irwin, who stole a movable crane, a small Kubota rental crane, because he was digging out Beacon Hill in a Seattle City park and was arrested because his idea was, I got to find that sound. He was mining gold and diamonds.
A prospector.
He was a prospector, Stinky Pete. On Beacon Hill with a crane in Seattle City Park, and it took weeks for them to act just to get him arrested a second time. Well, guess what? Some hacktivist or whatever bailed him out because he was unjustly arrested for being a nutbag. Well, spoiler alert, guess what? Steve Irwin is back, and he was living off the grid up there on Beacon Hill in the same park, only this time he doesn't have a crane, but it's still a Seattle City park.
But walk along the carved out brush inside Dr. Jose Rizal Park, and you'll see this trail welcomes you to a homeless encampment. Once again, built by the now infamous Steve Irwin.
Steve Irwin.
This is his home. Three times in 6 months, he's built cabins here on Seattle Parks and Recreation land and actually has now a stand back order for a year. He is not allowed to be on Seattle Parks and Recreation property.
That's only if it's enforced. You have to, you know, keep in mind, if you make a statement like that, you have to wink at the camera.
Pretty at all.
That restraining order was issued after his arrest in February for building this cabin in the woods, complete with a washing machine, beer kegs, and plenty of power.
And, I mean, sorry, don't listen to the voiceover from Q13. It's a dump. The guy is doing on a Seattle City park what a normal person would be arrested for and fined heavily. And then arrested, charged heavily, I would think. But as we determined back in February, he's nuts. The guy's nuttier than squirrel turds. He thinks he's going to mine for gold underneath Amazon's old headquarters there. On it's to the west of the former, you know, the big red Beacon Hill building. It's at the where I-90 splits off from I-5 inside that bend. There's a park. Who knew? There's an off-leash dog area there. I wouldn't, but who knew? And this guy decided he was that's off the grid. You understand? Because he's pretty much Grizzly Adams. He's going to live off the grid there in the Seattle City Park.
Prior to that, he stole an excavator to dig out land inside the city-owned park. Those actions also leading to his arrest.
So anyway, the guy was rearrested. He clearly needs help. And it's not because he needs a girlfriend and he lacks social skills. I would say most women would be enthralled and fascinated by a man that could steal an excavator and build her a dream house in Beacon Hill on a Seattle City park.
Grizzly Adams had a beard.
Grizzly Adams did have a beard.
What's that from?
Happy Gilmore.
live off the grid like Jeremiah Johnson or some deal. And So anyway, he's back. I mean, this is a nuisance. And I don't know what the city of Seattle's going to do about it, but, and I don't live in Seattle. I'm just going to say I'm a little bemused that the rules apply to me, but not to this guy in the state of Washington. And you know who was here this morning was King County Prosecutor's Office spokesperson, Adidas Sliders McNerthney. Mm-hmm. And I meant, there was something I wanted to ask him about, but this is city of Seattle business.
Should go up to him and say, I want to put the system on trial.
Man. Yeah, he was here in his Adidas flip-flops, which I salute. But I don't know if this case is prosecutable by the county, because the city is not doing nothing. And me and my resale value would be wondering.
Police who walked the trail, found the new homestead, and placed Irwin under arrest, removing him once again from Jose Rizal Park.
He'll probably be in jail maybe a little bit longer this time, and I hope so for his own good.
While he's in custody, We Heart Seattle will once again clean out the encampment.
I don't find the audio, but I mean, the guy didn't even withstand a camera on his face before he showed that he was bat crap crazy, because he was up there mining gold, looking for gold and diamonds. Okay, so that alone, why not look for a miniature giraffe, opulence, and all that? But anyway, so there we go. That is, believe it or not, all that was thing one.
Second thing,
apparently Iran is a thing. And even though President Biden gave his now famous battle cry of don't.
Mr. President, to Iran in this moment.
Don't.
Here was Iran's answer in the southern part of Israel.
Sounds exploding.
Those are Iranian Fajr medium-range ballistic missiles that were launched from the south of Iran. And I'm sorry for predicting that Iran cared about the rules, but they launched all these systems from their soil, and which is a different kettle of fish. They opened it up, and the president's trying to call off the dogs on this one, and they don't have anyone on that side in Israel, because in Israel, if someone hits you, it's politically unacceptable not to hit back. I mean, that's the point of Israel. That's how they're surviving. That's how they're alive. And they're dealing with their closest ally, their biggest backer, in the world, the United States of America. And they're dealing with an executive team that doesn't understand how the big boy rules work. The Israelis have already, over the years, done stuff and junk on Iranian soil. So that's nothing new to them. But you know what cracked me up this morning is that the Senate's newest Republican, John Fetterman, broke with the Biden administration.
The president is entitled to his own views and whatever he decides to do. But I would never capitulate to the fringe. I'll never pander to that as well. In fact, that helps, that empowers Hamas. And Hamas they're actually convinced that they are winning.
Oh, yes, Israel will strike back. They will not, quote, take the win. As the White House is saying, and they're planting, I mean, to this day, to this hour, they're planting the message that tough, steely resolve McBiden is telling Netanyahu to take the win. That this guy, who has defended his country, served in the Israeli army's most elite commando unit, who lost his older brother, who was commanding the unit at Entebbe, Uganda, can actually accept a world where Iran fires 300 weapon systems at Israel. They prevail. They get all of them. There's only one injured girl, but that you accept that. That's as unacceptable as anything in America. There's really no comparison, because I don't know of an American president that would not have struck back.
I love this quote from Senator John Fetterman in his interview with Jake Tapper.
It's astonishing that we are not standing firmly with Israel, and there should never be any kinds of conditions on all that. When a nation can launch hundreds of drones towards Israel, and I'm not going to be talking about conditions ever. And second, I think that also was Iran had to have some fireworks after Israel smoked that Iranian general. And I'm here for that.
There you go, America's newest Republican.
I know, right?
Welcome to the party. And that's why they hate him on the left now. They regret electing him. But anyway, yeah, so the cluster malarkey bomb was first unveiled at 6 a.m. yesterday morning, Pacific time, when Admiral John Kirby unveiled the take the win and move on talking point.
So did he warn Israel not to respond? Did he say take the win, as has been reported?
I think the president was, again, very clear with Prime Minister Netanyahu about the success that they enjoyed last night and the impact that that success ought to have.
And nothing encapsulates the Biden foreign policy more than that. Because, again, we have not retaliated for Iran killing three Americans that were physically in Jordan. The Jordanians retaliated because you don't shoot drones across our airspace. And so the Jordanians were actually a part of that on Saturday night. But we have yet to exact a price for the Iranians killing, murder of three American soldiers. And keep in mind, the Israelis know that neighborhood way better than Biden sure does. And the Iranians only understand loss. They don't understand your promise. They don't understand, okay, now have that money, but don't do anything nefarious or nuclear with it. They don't understand that because there's no cost attached. There's no or else. There's just don't, not or else what. And so that's why that's thing three.
Third thing.
Am I right? Oh, this is thing three. Okay. And nearly just as important, and don't let this fall off the news cycle, but the pre-taped Billy Joel concert was cut off by local CBS affiliates on the East Coast, apparently, by panda birthdays. They cut right at the top of the hour rather than letting it run one final minute because Billy Joel was at the end of Piano Man, and instead of rolling the credits and go to local news, they just went to local news.
Live from CBS 4, this is your news now.
Well, imagine if you had, I mean, would anyone have a party? Yeah, anyway, whatever. But it was compared to the Heidi, the world famous Heidi game. The Heidi game was, I think, ABC with broadcasting the Raiders and the Jets AFL championship game in 1969, the year that the Jets won and went on to the Superb Owl. And it was like overtime. And the Jets were driving or something, and they cut to a pre-scheduled showing of the movie Heidi about the little Swiss girl at the Christmas time or whatever. And so
story of Heidi, full of excitement.
Ever since then, it's been called the Heidi game. And it's a absolute nightmare to anyone on TV to ever make that very bad call. Don't go away from something important for a panda birthday or whatever. All right, when we come back, a deeper dive on the developments in Israel and Iran over the weekend. Are we close? Is it driving the gas prices up? I warned you all at 2 p.m. on Saturday, better go fill your tank up now. It's just going to be higher than on Monday. I can say 3 or 4 cents, but 3 or 4 cents, you know, times 20 gallons. That's what people are on about. So why don't they're still confused in the White House? Why don't they love our policies? Back in the second, AM 770 KTTH. AM 770 KTTH. I'm a little wary of anyone. Brian Suits here with producer Greg. A little leery of a elected official, a federal elected official like Congressman Jimmy Raskin from Delaware, from a small state, who favors eliminating the Electoral College because it has a purpose, and it's so that. And then the introduction of a national popular vote, it's so that a tiny state is not all the tiny states are not dominated by a behemoth state. Because that's like saying, well, why should Wyoming get two senators when they only have one congressperson? I think it's still only one. I know who it's not anymore. But, I mean, it's about, I mean, that was debated in 1781. But anyway, he went on with this. I was surprised to find out about this.
A criminal trial starting tomorrow. How should we think about this moment in history?
He was on Inside Jen Psaki. I'm sorry, Inside with Jen Psaki yesterday.
Well, you know, Trump's people would like to trivialize and diminish the meaning of this trial. But in fact, it's perfectly emblematic of the others that are out there. They're all about electoral interference and manipulation.
And he goes on, blah, blah, blah. And turns out he doesn't like Trump, who's, by the way.
And it's a country that's failing. It's a country that's run by an incompetent man who's very much involved in this case. This is really an attack on a political opponent. That's all it is.
I guess a lunch break.
So I'm very honored to be here. Thank you very much.
That was President Trump.
And he's starting the jury selection bit of the trial in New York. And this is supposed to be, it's funny that MSNBC, you can tell sort of what the executive editors, executive producers are hoping happens, that if they show this, you're all going to be so stunned that elected officials during an election try to hide bad stuff they did, that you're going to be disgusted because you're supposed to be Republicans or something. I don't know what that means, but there's that. The thing they were trying to plant yesterday was only through the masterful strategy of Joe Biden did we think to have guided missile destroyers, DDGs, in the Persian Gulf that were there taking the job of shooting down ballistic missiles with their systems. And if not, no one in the Navy apparently would have thought of that.
Good to be with you.
Well, do you believe that Iran intended these strikes to be successful and lethal, or just look like they could be?
Okay. If you haven't figured out that this is no different than when they did the same thing in 2020, after the Qasem Soleimani targeted killing in Baghdad. And that was as choreographed as a Globetrotters game or a WWE Saturday Night special. That's why they choreographed it for 2 weeks, because they were telling their people, because it's rhetoric is a big thing in Persian culture. Night after night of soon the Zionists will feel the breath of our fury, and they will be deafened by the sound of our roar, and we are lions, and the whole thing. But anyway, that's not the official stance. Is we were stunned and surprised by this, but luckily through the steely resolve of this current president, we overcame the Iranian onslaught.
No question. I mean, look at the size and the scale, the scope of what they fired at Israel from Iran proper. You know, more than 300 missiles and drones. They wanted to cause damage, no question about that. But they were utterly unsuccessful in doing so.
Well, Israel clearly has the military upper hand here, but the Israeli foreign minister said days ago that Israel will respond if Iran attacks from its territory. As you just said, they did exactly that. So has Israel committed to the U.S. that they will give a heads up before they take action against Iran?
Spoiler, they will not, because they know that Biden is a coward. And if they had asked for permission to kill the guy in Damascus and drop an entire building on him and his leg humpers and staff, the Biden administration would have said, oh, no, they might. That'll be escalatory. Well, look, that guy was the guy coordinating the Houthi receipt of cruise missiles and Hezbollah and the Iraqi militia that, you know, killed 3 American soldiers. So Israel did more to retaliate against that than Biden ever has, because Biden's afraid of the power that he has. Of he doesn't understand the people that he's dealing with, that they would understand loss because that's what they deal in, and that their Iraqi militia are the ones who fired those drones that killed three Americans in Jordan. And again, this is why they call him El Bionica Mujerica, the Bionic Woman. Should I say it, Greg?
I don't know. You tell me.
Because he has all that power and no balls.
Oh, boy.
So there's that. And the Arab equivalent, because they don't fear him. And so, yeah, it was the Globetrotters versus the Washington Generals is what it was. Just like it was in 2020 when they choreographed a phony strike on the Al Asad air base in Anbar. They called ahead to make sure no Americans were in the impact zone on the runway. And this is what they practically did on Saturday. That's why I'm reading some stuff and I'm monitoring ADSB on Saturday. You may check the timestamps on Twitter. And I gave everyone a heads up to fill up their gas tank while the price is cheap. And then I went to open source intelligence and found the U.S. KC-135 air tanker, which only operates if there's F-15s in the air or F-22s or whatever. And it was returning to Kuwait because they squawked in-flight emergency, 7700, because it's a Boeing plane, probably. And so they had refueled a bunch of F-15s so that they could stay on station and await the launch of the cruise missiles. And they revealed that. And I tweeted that out. I tweeted out the gas thing and the whole deal. And look at that. Then it happened. And just a brief reminder, it's 170-something or 190 days since Jake Sullivan. Right before October 7th, here's Jake Sullivan, the National Security Advisor, on his take on the Middle East.
And what we said is we want to depressurize, de-escalate, and ultimately integrate the Middle East region. The war in Yemen is in its 19-month of truce. For now, the Iranian attacks against U.S. forces have stopped. Our presence in Iraq is stable. I emphasize for now because all of that can change. And the Middle East region is quieter today than it has been in two decades.
Well, that ought to do it. So anyway, just a reminder. And they're the ones who are feeding the talking point to MSNBC that Netanyahu knew all about this Hamas plan. And plus, he told the Qataris to fund Hamas and all this hooey, which is blood libel. So I don't know the game situation. I'm not watching the Mariners this year. Got to tell you, but
one from Alzolay instead of pickoff throw, not in time. Wow. Not in time. Very close play.
So was he the tying run on first?
Julio was the tying run on first. Bottom of the ninth, two outs. He gets
mental health
off.
Day. He was taking a mental health day. He had a timeout card, and they put him in. Service puts him in anyway.
He was called safe on the pickoff attempt. They went to the booth. They overturned it, and that was your ball game.
There's your ball. What a way to end a ball game on a video review. Ouch. All right. Well, we'll be back in just a second. And a quick check on local headlines and stuff. Plus, sports, traffic, and weather on the 10s. Right after the same 770 KTTH. At the top of the hour, the reverby Trump remarks about I love the low IQ runs on Biden.
Do you prefer your audio reverby or extra crispy reverby?
Extra marbly, extra McCarthy on that one. AM 770 KTTH. Speaking of Congressman Kevin McCarthy, he represents Bakersfield, California. I played that audio of the woman having been charged with 16 felony counts because there's 16 city council people in Bakersfield, and she threatened to guillotine them because they would not pass a a demand for ceasefire in Gaza, and she's 28, and she's crazy. And city councils, just like here in Seattle, have open mics. Apparently, they're far less tolerant on the spot in Bakersfield. So this is how this went. So they call Ms. Patel, and she goes up there.
I'm here to speak in support. Hi there, my name is Riddhi Patel. I'm here to speak in support of the city council introducing a ceasefire resolution, specifically the one United Liberation Front has drafted.
And the United Liberation Front is a wacky, not even lefty. They're communists who support any anti-colonial, and colonialism is what they determine it is. And the Israelis are colonizing Gaza, which just belies a complete ignorance in the issue. But don't stop her. She has an open mic.
I don't have faith that you'll do this. You guys are all horrible human beings, and Jesus probably would have killed you himself. And the thing is,
that would be very counter Jesus, wouldn't it?
That would be.
I mean, I defer to you, Greg.
That's a turn the other cheek moment.
He doesn't kill till he comes back. Because the original because in Quran, when he comes back, Jesus is the second most important prophet in Islam. He comes back at the end of days with a spear to kill the devil, Dajjal. I mean, he does. They duke it out for keeps, as they say. The devil and Jesus fighting in Quds in Jerusalem.
My money's on Jesus on that one.
Oh, yeah. And turns out he does kill Dajjal.
So it's very clear to me as someone who's been an organizer for the past couple of years that none of you care, because you guys don't care about anything happening in Palestine or any other country where oppression occurs, because you don't care about the oppression occurring here. And I understand that you guys are all horrible people. You guys parade Gandhi around as a Hindu holiday called Chaitra Navratri. It starts off this week. I remind you that these holidays that we practice, that other people in the
Gandhi killed people left and right. He used to carry a switchblade.
I don't know. Fact check.
In his diaper. Yeah, he was a knife fighter.
The Global South practice believe in violent revolution against their oppressors. And I hope one day somebody brings the guillotine and kills all of you motherfuckers.
Now, she didn't say she would. She's just saying she hopes someone would. But it's in the perceiver.
And it got worse.
Die. And for that reason, you guys want to criminalize us with metal detectors. People, we'll see you at your house. Care. We'll murder you.
Wait, is that me or you?
Nick.
I think that was
if
both of us.
You guys don't like them, and they're actually resisting, so you want to criminalize them. So regardless of whether you elect people into office, they'll backstab you, they'll let you die, and for that reason, you guys want to criminalize us with metal detectors, we'll see you at your house. We'll murder you.
Oh, there you go. All right. So apparently in Bakersfield, there's some lines you can't cross that don't exist in Seattle.
Next speaker, please.
Lance, followed by Kev. Followed by Valeria.
Ms. Patel, that was a threat, what you said at the end, and so the officers are going to escort you out and take care of that.
Ha ha, wah wah, sadtrombone.com on that one. So somebody get the Buck Owens song, Streets of Bakersfield, on that one. She's going to spend the night in the can, in the famous Dwight Yoakam can. And so meanwhile, when she was arraigned, she's blubbing like the little girl.
A deputy public defender entered not guilty pleas on Patel's behalf to 8 counts of threatening a public official and 10 counts of making terroristic threats. She's due back in.
So, yeah, there's that. More of that here in Seattle, please. With these people that were arrested for interrupting the city council last month, you got Sheriff Sarah Nelson there with the gavel. So good. Because that's how you enforce public order, folks. That's how civilization works, I think you'll find. So anyway, great to see that. There's your wrapping it up with a bow on that one. But I mean, sitting there making threats about national liberation and to fight the oppression here, somebody has poisoned Riddhi Patel's mind. And I have a weird feeling that her parents are going to be deeply embarrassed and ashamed of her. And that is the cruelest blow in their society. Okay, so this is, look, I know not to go to certain people for their historic takes on stuff, but when I see Trump speaks at Gettysburg, you know, you got to go there. And this is not historically accurate, folks, but nevertheless, here's Trump at Gettysburg. And so Biden is going there today, is going to Pennsylvania today. Apparently their strategy is to keep hitting on abortion and not make it personal about Trump's trial.
The immortal heroes at Gettysburg. Gettysburg, what an unbelievable battle that was, the Battle of Gettysburg. What an unbelievable, I mean, it was so much and so interesting and so vicious and horrible and so beautiful in so many different ways. It represented such a big portion of these.
He's just stringing words together, isn't he?
I don't know if I would call it happened there beautiful. Maybe it depends on your perspective.
Well, the regiments had different flags. There are beautiful flags, and the 20th Alabama's flag, or the 4th Alabama's flag is banned now in Alabama.
Devil's
success
Den.
Of the
Devil's Dam is brutal. I don't know about beautiful.
Yeah, 20th Maine kicked ass.
This country, Gettysburg. Wow, I go to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, to look and to watch. And the statement of Robert E. Lee, who's no longer in favor. Did you ever notice that? No longer in favor. Never fight uphill, me boys. Never fight uphill.
Well, I don't know where that came from.
Because the union has the high ground.
Because Robert E. Lee never said, never fight uphill, boys. He literally ordered Pickett's charge. He sent thousands of men to their death, but they still revered him and the whole thing. But... So odd. Anyway, I would have been Winona Ryder doing that, you know, the confused look around with all the arithmetic around me if I'd heard that.
They were fighting uphill. He said, wow, that was a big mistake. He lost.
I'm pretty sure that's a direct quote on that part. But then again, I'm not a real big devotee. I don't think there's much to learn.
Fighting uphill. He said, wow, that was a big mistake. He lost his great job.
I mean, and I'll defend this on. I know that there are people that are historical didacts that are fascinated by the Civil War. Besides the uniforms and things, I got to say, and besides the big picture logistics, not really a hell of a lot of lessons from the Civil War, besides motivation, leadership, and things like that. But individual battles, I find they add up to a campaign that might make a difference. And it was the most, obviously, most pivotal war besides the War of Independence in our country's history. But And I know all the commanders and all the sides, some of them were more realistic than others, like William T. Sherman, but he never said fight uphill, boy, me boys.
That's what you think.
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, to look and to watch. And the statement of Robert E. Lee, who's no longer in favor. Did you ever notice that? No longer in favor. Never fight uphill, me boys. Never fight uphill.
Me boys. Well, there are me boys. But, so the Arlington National Cemetery, what was it before it was the Arlington National Cemetery? Robert E. Lee's plantation.
He's buried there at the very top,
how's
right?
That for getting personal? They took the plantation, they turned it into a Union cemetery, and...
Well, there he doesn't even get a gravestone, he gets a whole building.
And the son of the commandant of that, a general, I forget his name, when his son was killed, they buried his own son in Mrs. Lee's Rose Garden. So, there's a capital F and a capital
I don't
Y.
Know, that sounds like Trump history to me.
No, that's true. That's a true deal. I went deep into history because on this week... 81 years ago, Admiral Yamamoto was dead. He just didn't know it. As I continue to show the receipts and defend myself in saying over and over and over that FDR knew about Pearl Harbor before it happened, and he let it happen because he had to have it happen. So there. Talk me out of that. Debate me on that one. Back in the second AM, 770 KTTH.
People do like it, I must say. Thank you very much.